Good evening. Before I start, I always say Hashem Svasai Fifta Ufi Yagid Filasecha. Because the truth is, Adam Ma'arche Lev, the Pasuk says, a person decides what he wants to talk about. I've been planning, I know what I'm supposed to talk about and all that, but Hashem Ma'anelashim. Hashem is the one who helps every speaker to get it out correctly. And that he should look at it and say, you know, very often they say a person gives three talks. He gives the talk that he planned to. You know, he plans a talk, and he gives a talk, and then when he goes over, he says, this is not really the talk that I really wanted to give. And the fact is that Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tulasecha. I'm very, very happy to be here with you. I really am. Especially, I was here 3 weeks ago for a period of time, and then the Rosh Hashiva told me that the virus is around, don't come. And now, Baruch Hashem, I have a chance to be here, and the fact is that this Wednesday, I get my second inoculation. Now, and before I take that inoculation, I always say, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha, Hashem Elokai V'Elokei Avosai, She'a Eisik Zeh Li L'Refuah. May it work. And the fact is that it's, first of all, only 95% effective, supposed to be. All these are things that they anticipate. It's 95% effective, and that is, they hope, and that's after a week. And after that, one has to constantly still be davening, because again, you never know. Within that window, if it's accurate, a Kaddish Baruch Hu decides what the situation is. And that's it. Now, you're familiar, all of you, with the three cardinal rules, the three cardinal principles that help a person get through this virus. Of course, yes, of course. They are tshuva, tefillah, utztaka, mavirin es roa hagzera. Those are the three things that we need to be able to get through. Now the world says, oh, social distancing, masks, and so, you know, and either gloves or washing of hands. It's true. One has to be careful with that as well. But we understand there's going to be tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, mavirin es roa hagzera, and so may it be for us, Baruch Hashem, as well as so many millions of people who suffer now economically, if not physically, during this time. Now, after all, who do you think gave us the ability in record time to make this, the various antidotes, the various vaccines that are out there? And now one says, of course, the world again looks at this thing and says, well, everyone was working together. All the billions and billions of dollars of money that was necessary, it was all pooled together. All the scientists, all these things are true. But the fact is, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants the ideas in people, and Baruch Hashem, it works. Based on his help to us, there's no question. Now, the fact is that this whole pandemic situation has reinforced within me the idea of the thankfulness and gratefulness that I generally walk around with, but even more. And the fact is, there's so much to be thankful for, of the things that we have, and grateful for the things that we don't have. Let me share with you a list of the things, and you can check the things off, things that we don't have, hopefully. You can make a mental check as you go by, okay? Place a check following conditions that you have now or have ever had. High blood pressure, heart disease, chest pain, shortness of breath, irregular heartbeats, dizziness or fainting spells. Don't anyone keel over, just keep sitting where you are. Strokes, severe headaches, seizures or convulsions, numbness or tingling, fainting, indigestion, liver disease, hepatitis, gallbladder disease, diabetes, hypoglycemia, thyroid disease, high cholesterol level, high triglyceride level, anemia, arthritis, gout. All right, so I'll continue a little bit more, almost finished. And it doesn't take it all either. You'll see there's some really interesting ones that are not on this paper. kidney disease, chronic cough, asthma, swelling of feet and ankles, difficulty breathing, allergies, depression, anxiety, okay? Now listen, all of us may have, at one time or another, anxiety, depression of some, but we're talking about chronic, heavy depression, whatever it may be, okay? If a person can go through this, don't have, you know, or just leave it blank. Matovum nine. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Boy, oh boy, are we fortunate. It's like, again, I probably mentioned this at one time or another. A fellow was on a plane. He's about 40 years old. Atmospheric conditions occur. And all of a sudden, he has a terrible toothache. He thinks he's going to go through the seat, through the top. Oy vey. But he lurks around, gets to the dentist, and he's able to fix whatever it is. Pain-free. Oh, thank God. Pain-free. But it's more than that. He says to himself, for 40 years, I never had such a situation. I never had it. Therefore, Baruch Hashem, you know, for 40 years. And that's part of the joy of being able to feel, you know, that he feels healthy at that time. Things back for 40 years. Okay, fine. Now listen, I have my own stories, but that's good. Anyway, Usher. What's an Usher? You all know. Ayin, Shin. There's Usher could be with an Aleph too, but Usher meaning wealthy. With an Aleph means happy, but certainly not, and not every Usher with an Ayin is a person who is Usher with an Aleph, but and not every certainly everybody who is anyway. Leave it this way, with an Ayin, Einayim, Shinayim, Yodayim, Raglayim. That's the best Ashiris that a person can have, and there's no question about it. Baruch Hashem. If a person maintains an attitude of gratitude and builds on it, then it works out well that when he goes around the whole day, he walks with God. Shivi, as it says, the first sif in Shulchan Aruch is Shivisi Hashem Lefonai Tamid. I place Hashem in front of me all the time. And that's it. You know, that's the story about the guy who goes to shul. And he's there, a person makes the kiddush. And, oh, this is fantastic. He's so happy. And what's the kiddush for? I was in a terrible car accident. I was messed up from head to toe. But here, Baruch Hashem, I made it back. Thank God I'm back 100%. Wonderful. Next week, this fellow who went to the first kiddush shows up and he's making a kiddush. They say, wow, what happened to you? He says, nothing happened to me. I walked to shul, and that's exactly it. Nothing happened to me. Everything is functioning just the way it's supposed to be. Baruch Hashem. I don't need a car accident to remind me how fortunate I am. Baruch Hashem. Shavis Hashem will not be summoned. And as a result, the last sif in Shulchan Aruch, after 697 prakim, there are now 697 prakim in Shulchan Aruch, the last one ends with Tov Lev, Mishnah Tumid, another Tumid. The person who has a good heart, a happy heart, he's always having parties, so to speak. Mishnah Tumid, because he's always a happy person. Person puts Shvisi Hashem on Neddi Summit, he sees Hashem all the time, he's grateful, walks around. Boy, oh boy, what a wonderful, wonderful life. I want to change gears, something new. I remember an Adam Gottel once said, I was present, I heard this myself, that he said, if a person sees, actually he's saying, if a person reads a newspaper, this is in the days of newspapers, if a person reads a newspaper and with the proper perspective, a Torah perspective, it's like a Musa, it could be like a Musa Sefer. It could be like a Musa Sefer. What do I mean? What do I mean? The fact is, I want to zero in for a moment on the events that happened in Washington, D.C. over the last 2 weeks, and it's not over yet. And I want to be able to share with you the fundamentals of an object level of how a person can look at an event and walk away as a bigger Yoreh Shamayim. At least we try. At least we try. I've been trying to be aware of the events and walk away with a deeper perspective in my Avodas Hashem. Now listen, I'm not telling you what to think or how to think or anything like that. I'm sharing Kalman Rosenbaum's, you know, feeling about what I'm seeing, what I'm witnessing. And you buy in, you buy out. That's the situation. I'm just sharing with you, and that's it. In over the 70 years that I've been on this planet, I never witnessed a social political situation which was as traumatic as what occurred 2 weeks ago. Listen, I was around when the Twin Towers were destroyed, as you were. But the fact is that that came from an external source. It wasn't an upheaval. What we witnessed was like a huge earthquake. It was a tsunami coming into Washington. And, you know, we'll hear more and more reverberations as time goes on. But what does one glean from what occurred? So on one level, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Havi mispalel b'shlomo shel malchus. A person should always pray for the shlomo, from the stability of the government. Shel mole moira. If people have no respect and fear of the government, ish esreyehu chayim below. A person will swallow another person alive. And we saw what happened. Unfortunately, 5 lives lost. Okay, thank God it wasn't even worse. But even 1 life, God forbid. But the fact is, Ish Yisrael Chayim Balo, if things get out of hand, even the greatest power on earth, which is the United States of America, even that can shake and needs the Siyata D'Shemaya to be able to continue to function. That's the Mishnah. On a strictly person-to-person level, I want to say some comments, and I want you to know beforehand that if I were able at the time to have voted, I would have voted for the president that he should stay in office. He's done a lot of wonderful things within in the world in general, and for the Jewish people in Israel. Now, listen, I don't have to explain, I don't have to mention it to you at all. It's quite obvious. And at the same time, I don't in any way pretend to be a political pundit, and I'm not going there at all. I want to just share some observations that I have made. First of all, there is a klal in the klal of mida keneged mida, a measure for a measure. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in the world. And therefore, he talks to us this way often, really all the time, with mida keneged mida. And that's what goes around, comes around, for sure. And therefore, in this case of the president, he who bashes gets bashed. He who bashes on social media, but he gets bashed in society. And it's something to stop, to look, to learn. And say, interesting. And therefore, we ourselves can be able to, the president now is suffering. What a terrible bashing. But you look during the last 4 years, what he's done, it's also something that occurred too. You see as well, Hamavis v'hachayim b'yad haloshen. Death. By the way, Mavis comes first in the pasuk. Very often people quote it incorrectly. They say, Hamavis v'chaim. It's not Hamavis v'chaim. It's Hamavis. It's not Chaim v'Hamavis. It's Mavis v'chaim. Hamavis v'chaim b'yad haloshen. Death and life are the hands of the mouth. And you take a look. It's in the power of the mouth. And you'll see what has occurred, which is leading up to impeachment, is something that came from the mouth. And whether it was how you look at the videos and you see what excited the people and what incited the people. And there it's there, black and white. Which leads to another consideration. We always say that Ayin Roeh V'Ozen Shamas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, an eye that sees, an ear that hears. The whole of the record, all of whatever you're doing is the Sefer Nechtovim. Everybody has his own personal Sefer that's written about him. And he really writes it. And the video is taken of everyone. Would you believe right now there's a video being taken of what we're doing right now, where you're sitting, how you're sitting, and even what you're thinking. There, the president can say, I didn't mean that. When I said, you know, do such and such, that's not what I meant. I never, my followers would never, you know, my supporters would never do such and such. Okay, fine. At the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reads our mind too. It's on the video too. So therefore, those of you who are sitting here and saying, oh boy, how much time is it until he's finished? That's also on the video. I don't know, but it's there. And that's, you know, fine. That's the way it works. Ayin Roa, no denying, no denying. Okay. So I want to, that's another thing of an object lesson. We can use, this is a wonderful opportunity, of what can I look at something like this, an event that's occurring, and be able to extract certain situations that could of it that I can use to my own avodas Hashem. Then there's a third thing I want to mention, and that is anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is interesting. I remember personally as a child growing up in Connecticut in the late 40s. I was born during the Second World War, thank God, in America, and was in a Connecticut community, mostly non-Jews for a period of time. And I remember, in those days, I could have been between 6 and 7 years old, that children threw dry ice at us and called us all different type of names, such as dirty Jew. I remember going home to my mother, Aleha Shalom, and asking, what's a dirty Jew? I mean, I took a bath regularly. What's a dirty Jew? And then, interesting. And then I remember a little girl told me, my mother says I can't play with you. And, okay, just as good. But the fact is that, remember, I was 6 years old, 7 years old, okay? The most dramatic of all was being in the back of my home. We lived in the back of woods of some sort, and some of the older boys had taken a pitchfork and they stuck it into a snake, and you know, a black snake, and they were, you know, wiggled it in front of my face, and you know, all I remember is the incident. I don't remember anything else. I don't remember if I cried, it doesn't make a difference. But these are all the, you know, some of the anti-Semitic things. Later on, I would be in a park once, and as an older, somewhat older, and probably after bar mitzvah, before I went away to yeshiva, and some older teens knocked my yarmulke off, and okay, this was all part and parcel of the thing. Interestingly enough, 20 years later, in the 70s, I had I could say to some of my students that you've never experienced anti-Semitism. You rarely, if ever, hear about something like that because the pendulum swung the other way. And therefore, that's the way it really was. And now the pendulum swings this way. And it is often a barometer for us as to how close we come to the non-Jews. Because when we get too close to the non-Jews, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings that illness, that malignancy of anti-Semitism there to push back, to be wherever he wants us to be. And that's the way it works. So the fact is that in the Haggadah, when we say, V'hi sha'amda la'avoseinu, galanu, shebechol dor v'dor omdi maleinu l'chaloseinu, it is this that stands up for us, that protects us. And every generation, the non-Jewish world comes and they endanger us, but he, Vav He Yud Aleph, is that which saves us, protects us. The guy that is Lazan Gazul, my Rebbe, says the he is anti-Semitism. It is anti-Semitism in every generation that helps us to be able to remain with our being Jews and then move farther away from the non-Jewish population. As has been said, and I forget who said it, if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the non-Jew will make Havdalah. And that's the way. It's the way it is. And that is true. My own experience, I've seen it time and time again. And therefore, okay, Baruch Hashem, that's the way it works. Okay. Hashem has many shluchim. Many shluchim. Want to share a different idea with you, totally. In the parsha of this, of Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. He, his mother, the father placed him in the placed him in the water, so his life should be saved. He's picked up by Bas Paro, and she takes him. She wants to have him nursed. He won't nurse, and therefore, as a result, they go to non-Jewish women. And he won't take from them. That's how they get to Moshe's mother. The halacha is in Yoredeya that a Jewish child is allowed b'di'evid to drink from a non-Jewish woman. However, it's only b'di'evid. L'chatchila, she must drink from a Jewish woman. B'di'evid, non-Jewish is acceptable. Where's the limud? Well, how do they know that this should be? So in the Hagos Hagra, he says that we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe wouldn't drink from a non-Jewish woman, so too we shouldn't l'chachila drink from a non-Jewish woman either. So the Shaila that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zecher Tzedek Livracha asked, what does Moshe Rabbeinu, halal lemaisa, have to do with all Jewish children? All Jewish children are wonderful children, but they're not going to be ha-peh ha-medaber imashchina. Moshe Rabbeinu was a peh ha-osid ledaber imashchina. He was going to speak to the divine presence. But all other children, how does that fit in lemaisa? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, don't sell yourself or your child short. You are required, he tells a parent, to give your child the best chinuch possible and the best experiences possible, because you don't know what your child will be. Your child could be Hamadabir Imashchina. He could be, he won't be Moshe Rabbeinu, lo kam kemoshe od. However, he could, yes, be a manig be Israel. There's no question about it. Let me tell you. Did I ever think that I'd be standing here when I was your age in yeshiva? I was at Ner Yisrael. Did I ever think that I would be standing here speaking to you? Did I ever think that I was going to be involved in a life of Torah and a life of chinuch? No. But Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other plans for me. Sitting over here, the truth is this. I don't know what is ahead of each and every single one of you, but I do know that you don't know either. And that's why the more kayach that you put in to bringing yourself into shleimus in every aspect of Torah, avodah, gemilas chesed, and all, without a doubt, you can make yourself into anything. So never sell yourself short. You too can be a medaber im hashchina. Now, other mefarshim learn medaber min hashchina means for three times a day we're medaber min hashchina, and very often more since we want to daven because shachris minchin marav is also medaber im hashchina. But I didn't want to emphasize that, but it's something to consider. But certainly that means we should take our davening very seriously. We're being medaber im hashchina. That's why it's so hard to daven and concentrate, because the Yetzer Hara tries very hard to break our concentration. In a spiritual way, when we daven, it's ke'ilu, someone standing in front of us and going like this. You know, well, I'm davening and I want to have concentration. I don't see it, but I feel it in a certain way, you know, and that's it. My mind wanders. Why is my mind wandering some? Why am I thinking about things during davening that I never even think about during the rest of the day? Because the Yetzer Hara is in front, because davening is so important. It's another aspect. But davening mashchina, to be a leader, each and every single one of you have the potential. That's another idea. I want to end with another final idea, essentially, and it works this way. Just know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives a person a Messiah he can't take. You and I don't know what lies ahead of us as far as Nisyonis. Good Nisyonis, opposite Nisyonis, nobody knows. But one thing we do know, Hashem will never give us a Nisyon, never gives us a test, a situation that we can't handle. Where do you bring a raya? The raya is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, go to Paro, twice in Shmos and once in Vayera, and tell him you're going for 3 days. You're going for 3 days. You're taking the Jewish people out. You tell them it's like a NCSY Shabbaton. It's on Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. And you're taking the whole people out. 3 days. Just know that he never was it, you know, that was it said to Paro, we're taking them out forever. In Christian, spirituals, they say, and Moses went down to Egypt. He said, let my people go for 3 days. But they don't say it that way. They say, let my people go. But the fact is, for 3 days. Why didn't Hashem say it straight? Why didn't he tell Moshe, go to Paro, tell him that if you go, you want to go, and she better let you leave. So the Mephoshim say there are many, many different truths. But one major one that spoke to me is as follows. Had Moshe Rabbeinu gone to Paro, remember, Paro, Hashem, why? Me Hashem, Eshma Bekolo, who is he that I should even listen to him? But the fact, had he gone to Paro, and he says to Paro, where do you want to go? We want to go, through the desert, and we're out of here. Paro looks at him and says, are you crazy? The economy, the slave economy, everything is on the backs of these Jews. I'm going to let them go forever? Never. So, there'd be no bechira, no choice. It's a decision that you cannot possibly, you can't expect him to make. And here, for 3 days he could. Had he wanted, and there are many reasons why he didn't want, but had he wanted, he could have said, for 3 days, go, come back. He didn't think he'd ever run away. Never do you see in Chumash Paro telling his people, what do you mean, let them go? They come back to Paro later on, the next week's parsha. Don't you realize that we're losing? Mitzrayim is going to be destroyed. Let them go already. Paro never says, well, if I let them go, they'll run away. Nah, there's no place to go. Without Mon and the bear and everything, you can't take 3 million people at least into the, and there's more, but the fact is, at least that, into the desert. It doesn't work. And therefore, nobody ever ran away. You come, and by the way, Ephraim Taki, who did, were killed in the land of the Philistines. But he wasn't worried about it. This is something we see, that Paro Melch Mitzrayim, Russia that he was, Hashem didn't want to give him a challenge that he couldn't handle. And so too in our lives, we should know l'havdol, in our situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never, ever give us something that we can't handle. So Yitz Hashem, we should all glean in Yitz Hashem. I hope there's something I said this evening that might have reached you, and halabai as such. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thank you.